But so good, so good, so good. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I've got several verses that I want to get to tonight. We'll see how I do. Glory to God. But this church, the book of Ephesians, it says, and it was written to the church at Ephesus, but many scholars believe that it was actually written to the churches throughout the general area. In other words, this was a letter that was to be passed on from city to city or from church to church. But we're going to go down and start in verse 3. I love this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to point out here very clearly that this is past tense. This is not something he's going to do. This is not something, if you earn it or if you're a good boy or a good girl, that you'll be blessed. This says that he hath blessed us. When did he bless us? Well, in reality, he blessed us when he came up with the plan to redeem us, right? But our blessing has already been paid for, and all we have to do is make a withdrawal on it. How do we make a withdrawal on it? By faith. By believing. But I want to just tell you that when we start reading the rest of this chapter, you're going to see that it's all based on the fact that it has been done. It's not something that's going to be done. Sometimes we live our lives and have our faith in the fact that, you know, I blew it, so I'm going to have to ask Jesus to forgive me again. And we get this picture that, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to get back up on the cross, and I'm going to have to get back up there and go through this all again because Bruce blew it once more. But that's not the case. It's retroactive. Our forgiveness is retroactive to the cross, right? When Jesus took our sins on the cross, he took every one that we've ever committed, every one that we will commit in the future, every one of the whole world. The whole world. Our entrance into that is our faith, right? And believing that what he said is true and it's ours. And we're going to walk in the light of it. We're going to be part of it. But again, I'm going to read it again. Grace to you and peace. Or verse 3, excuse me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That speaks to the fact that even though we're sitting here in Port Orchard in this church, we actually are also sitting in heavenly places right now because of our union with Christ. Because I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. I'm at the right hand of the Father with him, right? So by the time we're done tonight, I want you to begin to meditate on and think about and just ponder who you are in Christ, because you're not the same person you were without Christ. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But everything that is given to us, everything that Jesus accomplished is ours because he did the work. And it's a done deal. It's past tense. The price has been paid. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When were you made holy? Actually, we were made holy when he died for our sins. And the plan was at the foundation of the world. But you see, as far as God was concerned, when he instituted the plan and when Jesus went to the cross and he said, it's finished, that plan was finished. Now we entered into it, and all those who come to Christ, they enter into it when they believe. But in reality, we were already made holy. We just didn't know it yet. right? But once we accept Christ as our Savior, this says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Again, this is not something that, and it's easy to get into this type of thinking that, okay, if I do everything right, then I'm holy. But if I don't do everything exactly right, then I'm not so holy, right? But the reality is my holiness is not based on what I do. My holiness is based on what He did. And He isn't going to do it. He's already done it. So the real me, the one that's on the inside that you can't see, the spirit man, is holy. But not just holy, blameless. That's an incredible statement. I'm blameless. In other words, devil, you can't blame me for anything. You can't blame me for anything. I can't blame anybody else for anything. I am blameless. There's no blame. And on top of that, there's no shame. When we understand who we are in Christ, there's no more guilt. There's no more shame. There's no more condemnation. There's no more of that, you know, well, I guess I'm less than this other one. Or I guess I just don't measure up. I wish I was holy as Sister Spiritual, who's always doing right. And she seems to have visions all the time. Most of those are pizza. But then she has all of these other things that she's just exalted as Sister. And I'm not against people who are pressing into God and who are getting revelation. I'm not demeaning that. But what I'm saying, their position in Christ and being blessed is not based on how many hours they spend on their knees. It's based on their position in Christ. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And that doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I'm blessed because He blessed me with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, because He chose me before the foundation of the world that I might be in Him holy and without blame. I'm blessed. You know, I might be going through some things financially. I may go through some things relationally. I may go through things physically. You know, some things that I just don't like. And sometimes life is hard because we live in a fallen world. But the reality is that this is not really my home. And I'm blessed because I'm in Him in spiritual places. That's so good. That's so good. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. So when somebody comes up to you and says, I'm blessed, you want to go, well, what happened to you, right? You want to go, did you get a new car? Did your bills get paid? Is that sickness finally off of you? No. It doesn't matter whether they are or they aren't. I'm blessed because I'm in Him and in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed. And I want to tell you, honey child, I'm holy. I mean, I'm holy. I'm blameless. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus and I'm hidden in Him. Right? I'm hidden. Who am I? I'm holy. Who am I? I'm blameless. Who am I? I'm blessed. Who am I? Watch this. This is so good. Verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, this word predestined or predestination, it's got many theologians bent out of shape and arguing with each other, and it's like they miss the whole point of the whole thing. Predestined, I believe, means pre-designed. It was pre-designed from the foundation of the world that God would send Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and all those who would accept Him would be brought into the family of God. God wants every human being on the planet to be in His family. He said He wishes that all men would be saved, right? Not all men are, because they haven't accepted Him. But the design was, the pre-design was, is that all of those who did, and I did, right? I did. Back in 1977, in August, it was a Tuesday night, about 7:30 at night, and I gave my heart to Jesus, right? I entered into the pre-designed plan for salvation. Isn't that awesome? But watch this. So that's who I am. He predestined me to be adopted by Him. See, when Adam sold out, he took God as being his father and made the devil the father, right? And that's why the devil is called the god of this world. And Jesus, even when he was speaking to religious folks, he said, well, you're of your father, the devil. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, right? But the reality is, if we're not in the kingdom of light and we're still living under the bondage of the kingdom of darkness, we're not in the Father. And the only way to get in the Father is through Jesus, right? But once you're in Jesus, you're in the Father and you're adopted. You're part of the family. So who am I? I'm a son of God. But I'm not just saying that because I got my rolls on a church somewhere. I'm not just saying that because I hope it's true. I know it's true because I entered into the design plan, the pre-designed plan that Jesus would take my place on the cross and that I would be exchanging my sin for His righteousness. Does that make sense? Oh, that's so good. So who am I? I'm blessed. Who am I? I'm holy. Who am I? I'm blameless before God. Who am I? I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm welcomed into the courtroom of heaven. Because He's planned it that way. He did. Now, you don't get me wrong. I don't deserve any of it. Right? My actions, living life on this earth, if I was to have to earn it, and it takes total, complete, 100% score on the test to get into heaven, right? On your own actions, 100%. You can't have the spelling off. You can't have the punctuation off. Anything. It has to be 100%. I'd be failure, right? And so would everybody else. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But again, verse 4, just as He chose us, He chose us. And verse 5, having predestined to adoption by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Man, I like that. It gave God pleasure to send Jesus to the cross. Because He knew once the penalty was paid, He would reap the benefits of thousands, millions of children coming back to Him for eternity. It was for His good pleasure. It was His will. It's His will that I can declare myself holy. It's His will that I can declare myself blameless. It's His will that I can declare myself righteous. I like that. I like that. Now look at this verse 6. Verse 6 is an amazing verse that we kind of skip over sometimes, but I just want you to get the picture of this, and I probably won't do it justice. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And I am going to emphasize that we are accepted in the Beloved. I'm part of the Beloved. How are you doing with God? I'm beloved. He likes me. He wants me. He desires me. He likes my company. I'm in the Beloved. But watch this first part of this. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. When you think about praise, you think about adoration or adulation. It's kind of like if you ever saw like Ken Griffey Jr. hit a baseball. And when I say that, I mean, I'm a sports fan. But his swing was so sweet and so natural, and it was just effortless power. It was awesome thing. You'd watch it, and your jaw would just drop, and you go, how does he do that? You'd be just in awe of that swing. And when you went to somebody else, did you see that hit last night? I want to tell you, man, he got so much of that bat on the ball, and there was so much and all that. What you're doing is you're building a case of excitement about what the event was. So praise is building up the action that happened. I'm so excited about what happened. I'm so excited about, you know, you get a new car, you get something new, and it's like, I'm so excited. Man, that car is just awesome. And you spend your emotion, your time, and everything in praising the event. But it says, the praise, watch this again, verse 6, to the praise of the glory. What does the glory mean? It means the splendor. It means the spectacular. It means, come on, this is giving absolute adoration and adulation and excitement and emotion and thrill to the splendor, to the gloriousness, to the majesty of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And again, we all know that grace means that God's riches at Christ's expense, right? That's but it also means His unmerited favor. But here's what I just want to add to that. His grace is the kindness He exudes when He gives us a gift. Right? You know, there's some people who are just gracious people. You go around them and it's just like you're the only one that exists, and they seem genuinely glad that you're there. Not everybody's like that. Have you found that out? Not everybody. Some of us are just, hey, glad you're here. You know, but the people that I'm talking about, I'm thinking about one particular fellow. His name is Tony Cook. Great teacher. But when you're around Tony, he's looking at you. And even though he's famous, got lots of friends, everybody, when he's looking at you and talking to you, you know that he's excited about you being in his presence. Because he's very gracious. He's very gracious. And there's kindness in him that's just over the top. He's anointed to be gracious. Now, God, with His grace, is gracious. So He is displaying His kindness. Yes, His grace extends to the whole world, and His grace has many components to it. But here's what we have to come to the realization of. His grace is personal to me. What does that mean? When God looks at me, He loved me so much, right, that He sent His Son to die for me. But in the process of me saying, yes, I'll take that, He was gracious to me. He's kind to me. He's not the God up there going, I wonder how long it's going to take Him to screw up this time, because I got the bat ready. I'm going to just knock Him upside the head one time. You know, no. He's gracious to me. And Paul's writing this, he's saying, man, to the praise. Man, I'm so excited about how spectacular His kindness toward us is. Is that something? And we're going to see the same phrase many times in this first chapter, I think three times. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That is so good. We ought to just spend time thinking about that, meditating on that, and just going, oh God, You're so gracious. I want to just tell You, it's unreal, Lord. It's spectacular, right? It's spectacular. Have you ever been someplace and I'll just equate it to some mountain hikes I've been on, and you get up and it's just a different view of the earth than anywhere else you can be. And you're sitting up on the top of this mountain pass, and you're looking and you're seeing other mountains all around, and there's just, it's spectacular. There's one, have you ever been up to Hurricane Ridge? And you get out of the car and you get, well, the observation place burnt down last year, but I think they're rebuilding. But the point is, you get out of your car and you look and you go, oh my gosh. Why? Because you're just looking at the splendor, the spectacular, you know, the view and panorama of the Olympics that is just, now that's the glory. So when you're talking about the praise of the splendor of the glory, it's like, whoosh, let me take this all in of His goodness, His kindness, His grace, His unmerited favor given to me. Who am I? I'm a recipient of the splendor of His grace. Come on. Which by He made us accepted in the beloved. I like this in verse 6 again. I like this. Why do I like this? Because I'm the only part I am have anything to do with that is that I'm just the recipient. I didn't do anything in it. He made me. He accomplished. He has done it. I am accepted in the beloved. If we'd really get a picture of this and begin to assimilate into our every being and renew our mind to that, we would never have an overwhelming sense of rejection again ever in our life. We would never need someone else's approval. We would never need to be validated by somebody else's yay or nay, because I'm accepted in the beloved. And when I'm talking about this, I just have to talk about my kids, because both of my kids knew that they were loved. Right? Knew that they were loved. And so what did that do? That allowed them to say no to some peer pressure, because they didn't need that. They didn't need their approval because they already had mine. Right? My kids are as close to perfect as it gets. Right? Well, we'll talk about that later. But I mean, just give me a for instance. And we didn't find about this about later, but Michael was playing guitar, and he took his guitar everywhere he went. So he took it to school. Well, he forgot his lunch money. Several times he'd forget his lunch money. So lunch, he'd get his guitar out, put the guitar case open with a little sign, and he'd play for lunch money. And he'd get enough money in there until he could buy his lunch. Oh, six starving kids at home. Probably stick figures too. But anyway, why was he able to do that without worrying about what others thought of him? Because he had an acceptance at home where he knew he was loved, right? And if I, being evil, know how to create that kind of environment for my kids while they're here on earth, how much more, not just a little bit, but how much more spectacular, how much more splendor of His grace that creates the atmosphere for us to know that we're accepted and the beloved. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to like me, but I don't need you to like me. I want you, you know, to accept me and all that, but I really don't need it because I have His. I need you and you need me. We need each other. That's the way we're designed and developed. But I am not going to bend myself to try to earn your acceptance on a level that's not healthy when I already have the foundation of His acceptance. And it's because of the splendor of His grace that envelops me with an assurance that I'm all right. Is that good? Hallelujah. In Him, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, again, according to the riches of His gracious love that He bestowed upon us, right? We have redemption because of the purchase price of His blood. In other words, we were in hock to the devil, right? We were at the devil's pawn shop, and he was using us for whatever, and devalued us, and our price wasn't as worth as much as we were really worth, right? We were in that position, but the pawn ticket was paid for by the blood of Jesus, and our real value is now estimated in heaven. And like I said, this, the value of something is indicated by what somebody is willing to pay for it, right? And evidently your value and my value was so great to God that in His grace and in His love and in the plan that He said, it's worth me putting all of the sin onto my Son so that I can have more sons. And I'm taking that from the micro, you know, down, or the macro down to the micro. In other words, He did that for me. So I must have a certain amount of value in the eyes of God for Him to pay that price for me to be with Him. Who am I? I'm a child of the Most High God. Who am I? I'm one that God paid the price of His Son to buy me so that I could be adopted as His child. Who am I? I'm a child of the Most High God. Come on, say that with me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm beloved. I'm accepted in the love of God. And that's the truth. Right? Devil, that's the truth. Right? I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on. I'm just letting you know. I'm not listening to you. Now again, he just keeps going. Watch this. In verse 8, it didn't stop there, right? In verse 8, he says, which He made abound toward us. Abound toward us. Abound toward us. You know, you can get a little bit of water and you can have just a little trickle coming out of a hose. And if you're thirsty, you can just, you know, sit there and just keep drinking and drinking and drinking because you're really thirsty. You're drinking it. When I was a kid, we'd drink out of the hose. They don't want us to do that anymore, but I still drink out of the hose. But anyway, and it was just a little trickle. So you had to work at getting it. And then you could turn the pressure up to where it was, you know, steady stream. And then have you ever been at the water fountain or someplace where you're down there drinking and somebody puts all full and it just splashes all over you because the water's abounding out of that fountain. And it's so abounding that it's more than you need and it gets all over you. Are you listening to me? Let me read that again so you kind of get that picture. Which He made to abound. Abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence or understanding. In other words, it's abounding toward us, but He wants us to know about it. He wants us to have an understanding of how it works. He wants you and I to be walking in the light of it rather than walking around, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everybody hates me. I have a black thumb. I can't do anything. You know, look at my body's broken. This is broken. Everything is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not without compassion. I know people are suffering and going through things. But the reality is that's just the shell that you're living in. That's not the real you. The real you is at home with Him in heavenly places right now. And if you'll get your eyes off, and I know the feelings are there and sometimes it's tough, but if you'll get it off and just begin to think about the splendor of His grace toward us that's made us loved, made us, you know, holy, made us blameless, made us redeemed. If you start to just think about that and begin to praise God and magnify that in your mind and just begin to go over and over and over that. The pain might still be there, but it's kind of on the back burner at some point because of His goodness and His mercy, because He's made it abound toward us. And I like this. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. What does that mean? That just means that it was hidden in the Old Testament of how God was going to accomplish this, but the divine secret plan of His will was made known to the church by Jesus Christ. And what was that will? That will was is that Jesus would take our place, pay for our sins, and that we would be bought into His family. Come on, is this good? Is this good? Are y'all getting something tonight, right? I mean, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. What does that mean? Just think about this. And I'm sure it didn't happen like this, but it's kind of like before He made everything. He said, well, I can see the future. I see everything that's going on. We're going to make Adam. He's going to blow it. But I got an idea. I got an idea. This is how we're going to fix it. I'm not going to let it be known to anybody but you and me and the Holy Ghost. We're just going to talk about this. But I'm telling you, I get joy every time I think about it. I just get excited every time I think about it. Because in the fullness of time, Jesus is going to come to the earth. And when He does and people start accepting Him, I got my whole family in heaven is exploding. I love that. Made that mystery, that secret of His will, according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Himself. This was my idea. This was my plan. This was my purpose. This is what I did. And it excited me. What does that have to do with me? That was you that He was excited about. That was me that He was excited about. That was somebody is going to want to be in my family. Somebody is going to look at the grace, my grace, and be accepting of it. Somebody is going to receive me in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and which are on earth. This is talking about two different things. When Jesus came at the right time to do the work, right? But there is coming a day, and I don't believe it's far off, but you know, it might be a millennia from now. I don't know. But there's coming a day when He's going to wrap everything up. And He's going to drive Satan away from the earth. He's going to make the earth new, and everything will be made right again. Not just us spiritually in the spirit, but in the physical. And there won't be any more blackberry bushes with thorns on them. We'll just be able to go and eat the blackberries, right? You know, we won't have salal growing into our yards anymore. You know what I'm saying? Our trees won't die. You know, I mean, if there's coming a day in the dispensation of the fullness of time, what does that mean? When it's all done, when it's all complete, when it's been brought to its fulfillment, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which are on earth in Him. Everything is going to be in Christ, and I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. We're going to be there, right? Those people that have gone on before us are going to be there, right? It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. In Him we have, not we're going to. See, sometimes we live our life, boy, I just can't wait to get to heaven. It's all going to be worth it. Glory to God. And it's going to be great when we get to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. But I think that we sell ourselves short by not praising and viewing the splendor of His glory on earth, that the inheritance that we already have, I have fellowship with the Father through the blood of His Son and the outpouring of His Spirit within me. What does that mean? 24/7. I can not only talk to God, I can be assured that His presence is with me no matter where I go, where I am, what, no matter how hard it is, no matter what the circumstances are saying, I've obtained. It's not, boy, I hope when I get to heaven and St. Peter's up there that my list is okay, because, you know, then I'll know, whew, I made it in. No. I made it in when I accepted what He did for me. I'm in. I'm in what? In Christ. And if Christ is all right, I'm all right, because I'm in Christ. That's so good. I've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. This is what I want. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to get her done. And think about this for just a minute. There have been many visionaries, and a visionary is somebody that comes up with ideas. And a lot of times on earth, the visionary is not the manager. He's just the one in the company going, I think we ought to build such and such. Let's do it. And the manager goes, okay, now we need this. I don't care about any of that. Just go make that happen. But this is where we're going, right? So the vision was God's, but the management of that vision was God. The plan was God, and the execution was God. And all we do is be partakers of what He executed. Is that awesome? And listen in verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ, again, here we go, should be to the praise of His glory. To the praise, that we should be to the praise of His glory. In other words, watch this. You are the very statement of adulation that speaks of the splendor of what that grace accomplished. In other words, it's like, hey, angel, did you see that? You knew Bruce before he got saved. Look at him now. He's holy. He's blameless. He's righteous. He's pure in the sight of God. He's accepted in the beloved. He's welcomed here in the throne room. Did you see that? That's my boy. Right? That's my girl. Have you seen that? Come on. That we are the praise of His glory. We are the praise. Come on. Verse 13 said, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted when you heard. And when you trusted, you reacted. But the gospel of your salvation. And when we look at that word salvation, we look at it from a English standpoint and from a religious standpoint, and it's true. What that means is that you were lost and now you're found. But it's much more than that. It speaks of not only your redemption in Christ with your sins forgiven, it talks about your deliverance. In other words, I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In other words, Satan, you've got no more right to me. You have no more plan in me. I don't belong to you, right? But it's not just deliverance. It's for our healing. He's my healer. It's not only for our healer. It's for our provision. When His grace was poured out of me, it was for my redemption and buy me back. But part of the package is that I'm already delivered. I'm already healed. I'm already prospered. He's already made everything possible for me. But what do I need to do? I need to praise, watch this, the glory or the splendor of His grace that gave me an inheritance that equals my salvation. In other words, I've got to take the limits of God off and start to see my provision coming from the throne room of God rather than my ability to receive anything on my own. Right? Jesse Duplantis said this one once, and I just love it. His name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Right? And El Shaddai means more than enough. That means sufficient supply. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says that He is able to make all grace, remember that splendor? All grace, woo! The praise of the glory of His, He is able to make all grace abound to me, that I, having all sufficiency, that me, you, having all sufficiency, should be able to give to every good work. What does that mean? That God, if we're in tune with God and understand who we are, then He can begin to use us to meet the needs of others because our supply is in heaven. Come on. And that's not just talking about monetary things. That's talking about if somebody needs a word from God, somebody needs encouragement, somebody needs, you know, to be lifted up, somebody needs prayer, then His grace has been poured out upon me so that I can be the one to do that, as long as I continue to remember that I am in Him. I'm not doing this on my own as the earthly Bruce, but I'm doing this as the Bruce that's been redeemed, that's received an inheritance, that I'm in Christ and He's working through me in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Now watch this. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed, there's in other translations, it's the earnest or the down payment or the proof of, right? If you were to buy a house and you're going through the deal and they say, well, okay, you want to buy it, you know, before it closes, you have to put down 5% earnest money or whatever that is. That earnest money means that you are fully intended to buy this. You're not wasting the time of the seller, but you're invested in this. The Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of us, and we know that He is, right? That's just the down payment or the assurance that you are saved. In fact, the Bible says that we have received the witness of the Holy Spirit, that we are the children of God. There's something inside, right, that we know, that we know that I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? I'm saved. How do you know? I just know. Why? Because I have that earnest on the inside. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Again, to the praise of His glory. And the exaltation, the absolute just awe and wonder and shouting of how good the splendor of His grace is toward us who believe. Come on, is that great?
Yeah.
All right, go to Philippians chapter 1. Who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm beloved. Come on. And that, again, that doesn't mean that I'm better than you are. You know, that has nothing to do with it. What it means is that I'm as good as you are, and you're as good as me, as I am, because we're both in Christ. It has nothing to do with, you know, what your talents are or what my talents are, because all of our talents are because of the grace of God too. And He gets all the glory for the dispensation of the gifts that He's given to me. In Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to skip down to verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer, making requests for you, all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What's he saying? We both share the same story. We both are partakers of the grace of God that was bestowed upon us through the preaching of the good news that Jesus came for to save us from our sins. Now look at this. Being confident of this very thing. Being confident of this very thing. What's he saying? He said, man, don't talk to me. I know. Yeah, but are you sure? I know. Come on. Are you sure? I know. I know. Right? I mean, that attitude. I know. I'm confident of this one thing. I might not know everything, but this one thing, I know. I know that he who began a good work in you, in me, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this. You got saved, and just like me, God's still working on us. Why? To renew our mind, to understand who we really are, so that we can walk in the fullness of that, and the roadmap to change, so that we can get to the place where again, Janine's message last week was so good. It was like, the reason for change is so that we can be more like him, so that people can see Jesus in us, in the change and the fruit of what's work in us, right? But I'm confident of this, that he that began the good work in you, right? He's going to see it through to completion. What am I saying? God's not finished with you. God's not finished with me. God's not finished with you. But he is the one who is going to see that through to completion. Just trust him. Just walk with him. Just walk in him. Glory to God. Verse 7 says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both of my chains and my defense for the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Woo! The splendor of his grace, the glory. I mean, just so magnificent. God. And think about Paul. He's sitting in a jail cell when he's writing this. But he's thinking about, man, I was the one. And he talked about this in one of his epistles. He said, I'm the one that was persecuting the church. I'm the one that was dragging kids, moms, dads, everyone out of their homes and taking them to the synagogue to be judged. I'm that one. There's no way that I should even be able to say the name of Jesus. But I'm a partaker of that grace, that even when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, he died for the ungodly. But when he died for the ungodly and I entered into the covenant by my faith, I exchanged my ungodliness for his holiness. I exchanged my shame for his acceptance. Are you listening to me? You say, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we're all a part of. And you are a partaker with me, and I'm a partaker with you of this same grace. Glory to God. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, and being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus, watch this, to the glory and the praise of God. Right? God wants us to produce fruit. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. We do that by our association with who Jesus is and what He's done for us, and our acknowledgement that it's all about Him in us and not about us on our own. It's all according to His grace. It's all according to His mercy. But Lord, I just want to praise the splendor of the grace that's been bestowed not only upon me, but upon everybody who will accept it as Jesus has done the work. And I am complete in Him, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your Word. I'm so excited about Your Word. I'm excited about the splendor of what You've done in us and through us. And I ask God right now that You would just fill us with that knowledge, that we'd go home and Lord, You'd even wake us up or give us dreams tonight about how glorious Your grace is and how splendor Your grace is. And I just want to shout praise to You, Lord, for Your goodness. All those that are watching online, Lord, I just ask You, I just pray that You'd take these words of mine that aren't able to articulate as much as I should. But Lord, would You just paint that on their hearts so that they could receive and accept the work that You've done for them. And Lord, I just give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Woo!